You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Concerning Thanksgiving, which I'm going to talk about, is thankfulness. And, I'm not going to say anything I hadn't said before. You know, in 30 years, you preach on Thanksgiving, you're probably going to repeat some things. But the good news is that as you get older, you forget some of those things I preach. So I forget them too. Thankfulness is an attitude, and it is an outlook. It's a way of living. You can live your life being thankful. You can live your life being negative. You can live your life being grateful to people and to God and to your job or whatever the case may be. Or you can just live your life being negative and demanding you can just live on the assumption that you're entitled to everything. We're living in a country it's becoming fast full of people that just live off entitlements. And not that we shouldn't help people that need help. We should help people that need help. In fact, people who have had things have always helped people those hadn't had things. That's the way it's always been. It's been that way forever. Kind of done it willfully for a while. Now we're kind of demanded to do it by law. But we live in a society, and I think when I think of thankfulness, we're fastly becoming a nation that's very ungrateful. Are you with me? And we're not careful, we'll fall into that same trap. Unthankful. And we can fall into that same trap and forget about what a great country this is, what great nation this is. I think that when you think of thankfulness, I'm going to talk about three areas of thankfulness. We ought to be thankful for and to others. I mean, it's just the proper thing to do. When someone does something for you, has helped you along life's way, encouraged you or benefited you in some way, form, or fashion. It's civil. It's respectful. It's right and honest to be thankful. It's actually dishonest not to be thankful. When someone has really, truly helped you and encouraged you and been a blessing to you and done something for you, and you don't acknowledge it and you don't say anything about it at all, you silently take the credit for that, really, and it's being dishonest. And if you're thankful, you're being more true. You're more honest to the situation and to the person that did what they did. I can tell you this, too. If people have helped you in the past and you're very thankful and you're grateful and you go out of your way to let them know that and to acknowledge that, you know what? They won't hesitate to help you again. But it comes a point where you help someone, they just never thank you and they're never grateful and they never say thank you. You go help somebody else. I know after a while, it's not that you're being mean, it's just, we kind of gravitate toward that. People recognizing what we're doing, there's nothing wrong with that. We should recognize others. And if you're helping someone, you want to help people that are grateful. I think of the food ministry, what's so neat about it is there are a lot of people come out there that are very, very grateful, very, very thankful for what we do as a church. And they tell our workers that all the time. And to me, that just, that's not why we do what we do, but sure makes it easier to do. We do what we do because it's the right thing to do, helping people with food and praying for them when they come through. And because people get on hard times, truly do. We want to help those people. But it sure makes it nice when they're thankful. It makes it easier when they're grateful. When they come and just genuinely in tears in their eyes thanking you and telling you they don't know what they would have done. And a lot of people do that. I mean, a lot of people in the food bank do that. That's awesome when that happens. That's right. Isn't it? That's just the right thing to do. Somebody's helped you, you say thank you. Someone says they're going to help you, you say thank you. I mean, why would you look someone right in the eye when they give you something and not say thank you? It would be indecent, wouldn't it? I mean, they're handing you something or helping you somehow, and you look at them and go, yeah. Hello. That doesn't even seem right, does it? And yet, we do that a lot with people, unknowingly, not thinking about it. People have helped us in different ways, and we ought to be grateful people. It requires us to get out of ourselves. I mean, that's another good thing about thankfulness is that if you're going to live your life as a thankful person, as a grateful person, with an attitude of gratitude, we might say, those little zingers, one-liners, then it's going to force you to look on the good, not the bad. Your life will be better, I can tell you that. Because if you're just negative all the time, you're always constantly thinking about everything that's bad, everything that's wrong. If I'm purposely going to live my life thanking people for what they do, I am forced to think on the good things they do. It doesn't just make them feel better. It's not just the right thing to do. It's not just proper, civil, and just being honest when I thank people. It helps me in my attitude, my outlook, because I am forced to think on good things. Because you don't thank people for bad things. You don't thank them for what they didn't do. You thank them for what they did do. And so it requires you to focus and narrow in on things that have been good in your life, that have helped you in life, and the people that have made that happen. So, you know, when God talks about being grateful and thankful, and in these last days, he says people will be unthankful, ungrateful. God's trying to get us to enjoy life. He's trying to get us back on the, well, as I heard in a funeral the other day, the sunny side of life, you know. Get back on the sunny side of life. In other words, start looking at the positive instead of the negative. Amen? Instead of griping and complaining, moaning and groaning all the time. You ever notice when you read books, they have acknowledgments in there? They have a page of acknowledgments. Because nobody ever just wrote a book all by themselves. You know, somebody encouraged them, somebody had input in their life, or they did some research for them, or they had somebody, you know, editing the book or looking through it, or whatever the case may be. Because we're just a conglomeration of everybody. There are no lone rangers. Lone rangers. Yeah. My mind is sharp right now in Jesus' name. Without others, where would we be? You think about it. I think about this church. I get a lot of credit for this church because I'm the pastor, you know. I'm up front and everybody sees me and I get a lot of praise. But come on. Are you kidding me? No one person could make this church happen. There's no one person that could ever make it happen financially, spiritually, physically. I mean, you just go through the whole list. There's a lot of people that make a church happen. Amen? There's a lot of people that maybe not even involved in teaching, involved in orchestra, involved in, say, ushering, involved in positions that we see that are necessary. You have to have people come and tithe and pray and support. All of us make it happen. You know, we ought to be thankful and grateful to each other and get out of I and get into we. From me to we. Amen? It's team. Teamwork that makes the dream work. And there is no I in team. I heard it said you can get me out of team, but you got to mess the letters all up to do it. But anyway. So we have an obligation to thank each other. We have an obligation to acknowledge each other, to recognize each other, to be grateful and thankful to each other. Don't go down that slippery slope that it appears that our country is going. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our country. We have become a nation of gripers, moaners, and complainers, and whiners. Hello. Victims. And demanding things of everybody and the government and everybody else instead of being grateful and thankful and doing the best we can with what we got. You know, thank God for programs that help people. We've got a program ourselves that really need help. But then, you know, we ought to reciprocate. There ought to be thankfulness for that. And then there ought to be a willingness to do all we can and not take advantage of the situation. We have a lot of people in our country that are just, you know, becoming people of entitlement. And it's not just the country. It's a mindset. It's the world's that way. Are you with me? I don't want to get that way. I don't want to just live for God just for what I can get out of God. I want to be a part of what God's doing also. You know, it was John F. Kennedy that said this, one of the great statements. He said, ask not, you know, what your country can do for you or what you can do for your country. Hallelujah. That should be the mantra of every United States citizen, every American, and every person of every country, not just our country. We ought to be asking what we can do for our nation, what we can do for our country, not what our country can do for us. But let's do the best that we can to make it the best it can be. Hallelujah. You know, and that brings me to the second point. We're thankful for each other. We should be. We should acknowledge each other. We should be conscious of each other's contributions. And we should be thankful for this nation. I thank God for the United States of America. You know, I've been to different countries in the world. There is no place like this country. With all that we're dealing with and all that goes on and seemingly division that's in our country, I'm thankful for this country. I'm thankful for I still tear up, you know, when I pledge allegiance to the flag. I still tear up when we sing God Bless America. You know, I'm tearing up right now just thinking about it. But, I mean, we're in a blessed nation. We are in such a blessed country. With all that's going on, we need not forget how wonderful this country is and what it's done for us. Years ago, William F. Buckley wrote a book called Gratitude. And it was just a short book, but he talked about being grateful for this nation and being grateful for this country and the people that have made things happen in this country, our military. You know, thank God there seems to be more than in past years a rise in people that are grateful for our military. It's become popular now to thank our military, you know, and honor our military and our soldiers, people that stand up for our freedoms around the world, rightly so. Amen. I'm all for it. There have been times in our country where that hadn't been the case. Went through a tough time during the Vietnam War where everybody didn't really get acknowledged like they should have been acknowledged. I remember just a few years ago, Bern and I were in DFW Airport going somewhere. I don't know if we were going to Australia or I don't remember where we were going. But we were sitting in the airport waiting for our plane to come in, and several of our soldiers are coming in from Afghanistan. And over the intercom, they announced through the airport, this welcome our soldiers. And it was so moving. I mean, it was so moving. Everybody in the, I mean, all the different, you could see people in different sections of the terminal. Everybody was standing up, and they had this big walkway, glassed walkway. The plane they came in, they were walking around. Everybody was looking up like this, clapping. And it just went on and on and on for a long, long time. And, it just touched me. I thought, yeah, thank God for this country. Thank God for men and women that make it happen. You know, freedom's not cheap. People shed blood for your freedom. People risk their lives, and people have given their lives. And, you know, we just celebrate Veterans Day, and rightly so, and then we have Memorial Day for people who have gone on. We don't need to forget that. I'll tell you what, you didn't just come on here all by yourself, and you didn't just show up, are you with me, and just live your life and grow up and have all the liberties and freedoms that you have. We ought to be thankful for our military, for the men and women that have fought for this country and given their lives for this country. That's just right. Amen? And this is a country that has proclaimed a day of Thanksgiving. Think about it. This is a nation who as I speak right now, still, In God We Trust, is on all of our coinage. It's on all of our paperwork. I love the words of President Reagan. He says, if we're not a one nation under God, we're a nation gone under. Are you with me? And so we are a blessed nation because of God in our life. You know, George Washington declared October the 3rd, 1789, I wrote this down, a Thanksgiving proclamation. It's the first president of the United States of America. 1789 declared, it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God and to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and His favor. That's just right. That's the founder of our country. That's the first president of the United States of America, and that was the first declaration of Thanksgiving. Let's don't be ungrateful to our country. Are you with me? Let's don't be unthankful to our country. For all that we got to fix and all the things we got to do, we need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our leaders. You know, whether you voted for them or not, you're under a mandate to pray and believe God to turn them somehow. You know, God turns a river, the heart of a king like a river. He turns them like a river, the Bible says. And God can turn anybody and change anybody. And He can thwart plans that are wrong, and He can prosper plans that are good if we, the people of God, will get on our knees and pray for our nation. And so I'm thankful for this country. I really am. I see a brighter future than I'm hearing on the television. I think we've got challenges, to say the least. Are you with me? And we've got some major, major issues economically and politically and so on and so forth. But I know this. The Bible's still true. God's still alive. Hallelujah. The devil's still a liar, and we still win. Are you with me? And I'm not giving up. I'm not stopping praying. I'm not going to stop believing God. In fact, God's going to bless me and you and everybody that trusts Him. In fact, really, no matter what goes on in the world, He's going to bless us. If we thank Him and worship Him and pray. And, you know, I think even in the land in Egypt, when the plagues were came down on Egypt. There was still light in the land of Goshen. I mean, none of those flies got on them. None of those gnats got on them. None of those diseased cattle. The rivers didn't turn to blood, and it didn't get dark in Goshen. God's people are blessed. We read the New Testament, miracle after miracle, and we preach on those miracles. Individual cases, the one with the issue of blood. I mean, there's Jairus' daughter raised from the dead, and centurion's servant that's healed, the man let down through the roof, and the leper that was healed, and the blind man's eyes who were opened, and, you know, on and on and on, that miracles that took place. All that was happening under an oppressive government called the Roman government. The gospel still multiplied. It still increased. Miracles still happened. Provision still came. Woohoo! Are you out there? So there's always hope for us. We're Christians. We're believers. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. But we need to be grateful to each other, and we need to be grateful and thankful for our nation. You know, and I've quoted this often too. Dorothy Sayers, she was a contemporary of C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien and those guys, and she wrote extensively. I mean, she wrote plays and books and so on, and she wrote this in a book called Creed or Chaos. Of the money expended in charity, the greater part, for obvious reasons, is contributed by the rich. Think about this. Consequently, if the burden up to now borne by charity is transferred to the shoulders of the taxpayer, this is written back in, you know, the 1940s, it will be inevitably continued to be carried by exactly the same class of people. The only difference is that the people will no longer pay because they want to, eagerly and for love, but because they must, reluctantly and under pain of fine or imprisonment. The result, roughly speaking, is financially the same. The only difference is the elimination of the two detested virtues of love and gratitude. People won't give because they love, and people won't get and be grateful. Are you with me? And what a tragedy. And we're becoming, we have to be careful in this country that, you know, we talk about helping the poor through taxation and so on and so forth. We should always help the poor. We're Christians. We should help the poor. That's the right thing to do. But when the government demands it, then the poor demand the help, and there's no gratefulness and no thankfulness. And the people that are having to do it are mad, and everybody's mad at each other. Are you out there? So what are we doing? We're helping the poor, but everybody's miserable. The poor hate the rich hate the poor. Hello. Yeah, but the poor are getting help. Yeah, but the poor ought to get help anyway. We should have helped them anyway. We were. Did you know the church used to do everything the government's doing? Did you know that? Church used to educate people. The church, really, the schools were the church, the pastors were teachers that taught the children. The textbooks included the Bible. We're talking about the founding of this country. This country was founded that way. And then we took education away from the church. And the church began to help and have charities and help people and feed people and so on and so forth. You know what? The government took that away. Now the government does that. And so nobody looks to God to be educated, and they don't look to God to get help. Oh my. Y'all see the result. The result is that God no longer is the one we look to. We just look to the source giving it to us. Those are things we need to be, and all because we've lost love, charity, and we lost gratitude, thankfulness. We need to be thankful people. We ought to thank each other. We ought to thank God for this country. And ultimately, hey, we need to thank God. Amen? For sure. I mean, this is ultimately the time of year that we make this acknowledgement, but we should do it every day. I mean, God has gifted us. If you're smart, God gave you those smarts. Don't think you're just smarter than somebody else and that's kind of neat and kind of cool. Listen, it's God that gave you brains and a good memory. And if you don't have one, you can always blame God. No, stay with me. We all got different gifts and different talents and so on and so forth, but none of us has anything that we didn't receive. You know, if we're gifted, we can sing, we can draw, we can dance, whatever we can do, you know, or we got a sharp mind or whatever. Everything came from the Lord. So you got to be, you know, you got to be thankful. I read this, I thought this was really good. As an old man at the end of his days was asked what he would change in his life if he could do it all over again. And he said, I would get some help. You'll have to think about that. As you get older, you wish you had had more help. Amen. You're more thankful for what people have meant and done to you. Here's something I wrote down. Thanks. THANKS. I believe I spelled that right. T, think about others. If you're going to be, if you're going to give thanks, you've got to think about others. Amen? T, think about others. H, honor others and humble yourselves. Because there's a certain amount of humility when you acknowledge someone help in your life and you honor them and you thank them. Amen? A, acknowledge others. Accept our need of others. A, accept our need of others. You know, we need each other. Come on, there's nobody, there's no one-man show here. You think about this. I may have a gift, but I don't have all the gifts. You may have a gift, but you don't have all the gifts. It's interesting that the Bible compares us to a body. Everybody say body. Body's unique. It's not a bunch of numbers, 100 things, and you take away one, you got 99 things. No, no, no. It's a body with parts. You take away a hand, you can't replace a hand with a foot. Hello? You can't replace a foot with an eye. You can't replace an ear with a nose. So if you lose one of those parts, you lose a function. Amen? And so I may be a great ear, or I may be a wonderful nose, but I don't care how wonderful I am at smelling, I can't see very well without an eye. And so when we get together as a body, what happens is, man, we become more full, more complete, more mature. We go further. We do more. We become more more whole, as it were. And so we have to acknowledge our need of each other. I need you. You need me. We need each other. I don't need them. No, yeah, you do. Yeah, we need each other. You make me a better man. Are you with me? You make me a better pastor. You make me a better teacher. Whatever I am better because of you. And whatever you are, well, you're better because of me. Amen? We're better because of each other. So we want to acknowledge each other. We have to acknowledge the need for each other in our lives. That's what thanks does. Thanks causes us to think about others, causes us to honor others, causes us to acknowledge others. And then in need, we're reminded of our need of each other. And in, we never forget. We never forget that. You know, you don't just check out of a family. You don't just check out of a church. You know, we need, this is family. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming every week and listening to me. Thank you for laughing at my jokes, though I tell them over and over and over. Thank you for acting like I'm giving you some insight when I've said it many, many, many times already, and you've heard it over and over and over. Thank you for listening. Thank you for writing notes. Thank you for coming. We're making a difference here. Sometimes you don't get a lot out of service. I don't know why that is. Sometimes it's just, you're just rolling and it's just popping. Everything's just fine. But I tell you, you come in week after week after week and there's somebody new comes in here. First time. Changes their life. Or maybe somebody's been coming for 30 years and that very thing I said by the Holy Ghost changed their life, met their need, kept them going another day, turned them around. Are you with me? And because you kept coming, and all of us kept coming, maybe it wasn't you that day, but somebody got it that day, we all made it happen. We still have a church, and we all meet, and we all come together, and we make it happen. Woo! We need each other, amen? Okay, kindness of others. That's good. Thanks. If you're going to be a person that thanks, then you're going to have to be thinking about the kindness of others, how kind people were to you. And S, service of others. You're not the only one out here. Amen? Don't crawl behind a rock like Elijah and think that you're the only one left serving God. God's got 7,000 of them out there serving him, and they're doing things too. There's a lot of good churches in our community. That's what I like about our Thanksgiving service. It gives us an opportunity to see God's moving all over our city. He's moving in other churches, great churches. People that love God are meeting as I speak right now. There are ministers preaching good messages and impacting people, encouraging people to serve God and live right and live holy. And draw them closer to the Lord. We're not the only game in town, as it were. We're a church, we're running our race, but it's a big kingdom that's being built here. First Baptist is meeting today, and Calvary Baptist, and United Methodist, and First Assembly, and Stone Point, and New Release. I'm going to miss some churches if I keep naming them. Followers of Christ, and Church of Christ and Catholic Church. A lot of churches are meeting today, honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. Good people love God, washed in the blood of Jesus. Are you with me? Serving God. Serving God. And tonight we have an opportunity to get together with some of those other churches that are serving God and making a difference, reaching our community and reaching the world. Woo, hallelujah. I'm pro-church. I tell you, I love church. Praise God. Well, let me give you some more scriptures. Hallelujah. Y'all getting something out of this? Man, I got plenty of time. Lots of time here. I wrote some things down here that I actually going to take thanks again. I don't know, I like to play around words. I don't know why I do that. Kind of helps me remember things, I guess. But concerning thanking God, we'll start with thanks again. Y'all want to do that again? Y'all writing this down? Psalms 138, 2. You can turn to these or you can just write them down because I'm going to give several verses here. Psalms 138, 2 says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Everybody say truth. Okay. For you have magnified your word above all your name. I love that. God's as good as his word, or you might say God's word is as good as he is. And you can say whatever you want to say in Jesus' name, but if it's not in line with his word, his truth is above his, he magnifies it above his name. You know, a lot of people pray in Jesus' name, but they'll pray for things that not even in the scripture. Hello. Well, God's not going to honor his name above his word because he's only as good as his word. And his word is only good as he is. So we thank God, T, for his truth. Aren't you glad you have the truth? You know, Jesus said, you know the truth and truth make you free. I just thank God I have the truth when a situation arises and a crisis hits and that I know what to do. I know what the scripture says. I know what promise to stand on. So if I'm thanking God, the first thing I want to thank for is truth. The truth about salvation. The truth about heaven and hell. The truth about why Jesus came and died and rose again. Hallelujah. Thank God for the truth. And 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of the aroma of his knowledge by us in every place. I thank God for triumph, for truth and triumph. I win. You win. We win. So if you say, well, what would I thank God for? Well, victory, triumph, truth. Those are some T's. And H, 2 Chronicles 7:14. I love this one. This one actually is quoted often when we talk about prayer. And actually the National Day of Prayer, they'll quote this often. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name. Everybody say, that's me. Okay. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know what I thank God for when I think of H? I thank God that he hears me and he heals me. So I thank God for hearing and healing. I thank him for truth and triumph. I thank him for hearing and healing. Woo! Man, that's good stuff. And that's just the first two letters. Jeremiah 33:3 says this. It says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show you great and mighty things, which you do not know, which you know is not. So I thank him for answering me. You know, God's not a distant God. He's not a far-off God. He's not a God that's going to put you off and put you off and put you off and put you off. He's going to answer you when you call. He's going to hear you. He's going to heal you. His truth's going to cause you to triumph. He's going to hear you. He's going to heal you. And he's going to answer you. And Ephesians 1:6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. He is going to answer us and he's going to accept us. Boy, it's better preaching. Y'all are amening. I thank him for truth and triumph. I thank him for hearing and healing. I thank him for answering and accepting me. Well, I got a lot to thank him for. You know, really, and I'm just listing things that fall in the category of THANKS. I mean, you can use the rest of the alphabet and go crazy and never run out. I mean, you could just go letter after letter. In Hebrews 13:5 tells us this, says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." You know, I thank God that he never leaves me. He's always there. You know, friends come and go, people come and go, jobs come and go. Nah, not Jesus. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So whatever comes and goes in my life, and whatever changes in my life, he never leaves me. Never. And I thank him for never leaving me, and I thank him that his Lamentations 3:22 and 23, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." I thank him that his mercy is new every morning. He doesn't run out, doesn't get old. He never leaves me, and he's got new mercy for me every day. What about tomorrow? Well, he'll have new mercy for you tomorrow. Amen. His compassion is everlasting to everlasting. It's new every morning. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? I mean, tomorrow will be better. Praise God. You'll get through today, and tomorrow when it comes, hallelujah, you'll have new mercy, new grace, new kindness, new every morning. And speaking of kindness, his kindness toward us, Ephesians 2:7 says that in ages to come he might show his exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now think about this verse. I love this verse. We often think of heaven as a place where we're praising God and just honoring him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And grant, there's going to be a lot of praise in heaven, a lot of noise in heaven, a lot of worship in heaven. But here, it actually says quite the opposite. It says that in the ages to come, he, God, might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. So for eternity, we're not just going to be praising God for eternity. For eternity, God's going to be showing how kind he is to us. How greatly, exceedingly great his kindness has been to us. And forever and ever, we'll know how much he loves us. It's not a matter of us proving how much we love him and telling him so for eternity. For eternity, we're going to find out how crazy God is about us. And how kind he has been to us. And how many times he has helped us and we didn't know it. And we didn't acknowledge it. You know, I often have a picture of going to heaven and seeing Jesus. You know, which is, wow, man. Like that song, I can only imagine. I mean, you realize that when you go to heaven, we talk about those streets of gold and those pearly gates and those, you know, walls full of all kinds of different diamonds and jewels and opals and everything else, and crystal river and the 12 manner of fruits on the tree, and the city's like gold, transparent gold. It's just massive, awesome sight. But, you know, beyond all that, the most beautiful thing about heaven's got to be God and Jesus. And when you walk up and there's Jesus looking you, looking at you with those eyes, and you see him in his glory, and you see him face to face, the one who did all that he did for you that you might live forever, the one that took your sin upon him, the one that healed you time and time again, the one that's pulled you out over and over and over countless times when you didn't even know it, the one that's answered your prayer and protected you when you didn't even realize it, and you see him, I believe there's just going to be blinders that's just going to fall off your eyes. And I think the revelation is going to hit you. And you're going to think of all those times this happened and that happened and this happened and that happened. And you're going to see him. And you're going to have an awakening and a revelation. And you're going to go, that was you. That was you. See, we don't always know that, and we don't always acknowledge that, but it has been him all the time. Yeah. It has been His mercy. It has been His kindness. And we need to be more thankful. We go through days and don't really thank God. I know I do sometimes, and I don't spend a lot of time thanking God, you know. And there's a lot went well that I didn't even acknowledge. There's a lot didn't go bad that I didn't acknowledge. You know, things could have gone a whole lot worse. You know, and God spared me, and God saved me, and God protected me, and God kept this from happening and that from happening. We ought to be thankful people. Thankful people. But His kindness is something He's going to show us over and over. And, of course, obviously ended up with this. A couple of verses here. Man, I apologize for being such a blubber, baby. But Matthew 1:21 says concerning Mary, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." My goodness, if nothing else we can thank for, we can thank for salvation. Amen. Jesus has saved us. Yes, saved us from our sins. And Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Well, man, you say, what do I thank God for? Just write out thanks, truth and triumph, hearing and healing us, answering and accepting us, never leaving us and His new mercies every morning, kindness and saving us. That'd keep us pretty busy, wouldn't you think? This time of year, be thanking God. So, you know, think about this, and I'll let you out early today. We'll beat the Baptist to Brookshire's. You need to thank others. Think about the good that people have done and the need that you have of each other. You ought to thank each other. We ought to be thankful people. You ought to thank God for this country. Thank God for this country. And rightly so. Thank our troops. Thank people that... But there's a lot of other people than just soldiers and men and women that go around the country defending our freedoms. There's people involved in government. Listen, you ought to thank people that are in government that have given a lot of their lives and taken time out of their lives to go up there and holler at each other. Hello. And fight through all that mess because they believe in a greater cause. Because they believe that things mean something, that these bills ought to be passed or these bills shouldn't be passed. You know, we just have such a dim view sometimes of people up there that are really spending a lot of time, and it's a stressful job and it's a thankless job up there making this country happen, running this country. Okay, and there's some people that shouldn't be in office and people that we're against, but there's some people that should be in office that we're for. And we ought to be grateful that people dedicate their lives to do that. Hello. We can all sit back and armchair quarterback, but there are people that are moved their families and moved their homes and spent hours and late nights sometimes hammering out and beating out bills and trying to make something right, trying to hold on to something our country stands for, and you know, fighting for freedoms in bills and constitution, so on so the Constitution like it says, and trying to keep it in line with the Constitution. We ought to thank God for our government. We ought to thank God for the employees and the people that run this government. Hallelujah. And, of course, our military and people that make it happen. And ultimately, we ought to thank God. Amen.